this is where dead things come back to living. Now, there's a lot of different kinds of graves, and I think some people came out this morning, so praise God. Man, Molly Skaggs would be jealous of that right there. Praise God. Woo! And now I'm supposed to have y'all sit down, and your adrenaline is like, woo! Father, I thank you for the homes that are represented here. Whether they're homes of one or whether they're homes of 10 or 12. Father, your anointing is on your word to minister to every home that's represented in this place. And as those of us laid hands on every pew in this place and every chair that is represented here, so your anointing is on them to hear your word. You have come to set the captives free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, Father, to mend the brokenhearted. And Father, I thank you that your word, as it is released, will do its anointed work. It has nothing to do with me. I'm a vessel, but the word that comes out will do your work. We will open our hearts to be instructed. We will be corrected. We will make the changes needed. And Father, the world will be changed because our home is changed. And we thank you for it. It is in Jesus' name that we declare it's done. And the church said,
amen.
All right, now maybe you can be seated. Got your heart rate back down. Man, I thought y'all were going to get all Pentecostal on me this morning. That was just great. We need a little of that, don't we? We do. In case you haven't been here before, we're a happy church. We have a Savior. We have a God. And we may go through really rough things, but we're not alone. We have our church family. We have the body of Christ. And the Word gives us instruction. So even when we're going through tough things, we can go to His Word and we can find the answer. And it doesn't fail us. We're going to start today talking about the faithful home, the home that is full of faith. And this is not just for marriages. This is for homes. It doesn't matter if you're one in a home or 10 in a home. It doesn't matter. God is for the home. And home is the garden that we function out of. And so it needs to have the right atmosphere, right? Because we're going out and ministering to the world. If we come home and we're battling darkness at home, and then we're going in the world and we're battling darkness, and man, we need home good. We need home right. Home is the foundation of society and a place for them to go out and be fruitful into the world, but they had this garden that they dwelt out of. And He still wants us to have that, and it is so under attack. And this is going to take just a minute for me to read, because I'm going to read Rick Renner's, the RIV version of 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And it's going to take me just a minute. I want you to stick with me. Pay attention to what the Word is saying, because what I want you to pick up out of this is how many of these things are affecting the home. I want you to realize that the enemy is after your home. And God is after your home. But I think it's imperative, and we've done this before, we've studied every one of these things out singly. So I'm not going to do that today. We're not going to go into that much detail today. But you can go and study these, and we can help you find where we've taught that online before. But we've got to judge ourselves, and we've got to make sure that we're doing what the Word asks us to do in order to keep these things out. He says, you emphatically need to know that with unquestionable certainty, that in the very end of the days, when time has sailed to its last port and no more time remains for the journey, that last season will stand in the midst of uncontrollable, unpredictable, hurtful, treacherous, menacing times that will be emotionally difficult for people to bear. That might fit today. And it's difficult for people to bear. And so we need a place that we can go to where we're sown into. If that's sowing into our own hearts and building ourselves up, or if it's building up each other, if you have more than one person in your home, we need that right now. Men will be self-focused, When it says men, girls, it's talking about you too. Mankind will be self-focused, self-centered, self-absorbed, self-consumed, in love with themselves more than anyone else. As a result of this self-love, they will be driven to obtain more and more and more. These boasters are so committed to their own agenda that they are willing to exaggerate, overstate the facts, stretch the truth, embellish the story, and even lie if it'll get them the position, the advantage, or the goal that they desire. They are arrogant, haughty, impudent, snooty, and insolent. They disdain, mock, slander, and speak ill of anyone that stands in the way of their ideology, and freely use a foul language. In this climate, parents will no longer be able to persuade, control, lead, or exercise authority over their own children. Now, that's in the world. We got to have something different. We got to have something different. He's telling us this is going to be the attack against the home. He doesn't want us ignorant. He wants us very knowledgeable that in this climate, every one of those things we just read, we're in that climate right now in our society. So know this. God has another way of doing things, but these are the attacks that are going to try to come. And although people were once thankful and appreciative, they will generally become void of gratitude and will be unappreciative of everything. Impurity will seep into society and cause it to become an impure, ill-mannered, unclean, indecent, coarse, vulgar, offensive, crude, lewd, and rude. Love for and commitment for family will disintegrate. Divorce will become the epidemic, with irreconcilable differences being a major factor in tearing families apart. In fact, every imaginable type of covenant will be regularly violated. The court systems will be overwhelmed as people go overboard suing and being sued. People will generally lose the ability to say no and will be unable to control their instincts in nearly every area of their life. People will become savage, and it will eventually feel like there are no laws to protect the innocent. God wrote this a really long time ago. People will find it easy to walk away from commitments and easily throw away relationships. They will become reckless, impulsive, and known for their enjoyment of violence. Church, get those stupid video games out of your children's hands. I'm about to go all Tom Underhill on y'all. What your children are playing desensitizes them in any way to sexuality or violence, get it out of your house. Your child does not have to have it. And even what they do, y'all must have got the Holy Ghost loose up here, because I don't even want to say this, but I'm going to. Dads, that includes you. Amen. We've got some things we need to invest in, and that's called our families. And I don't mind people having enjoyment. That's great, but make it limited. Is it out of control? Is your family needing you, but you have to go to the call of duty? No pun intended. We're feeding the enemy's plan in our homes with what's on television, with the music. You are the parent. If you're paying the bills, you are in control. I've got too many child-centered homes, and I know I kind of had one myself. It's really easy trap to fall into, especially if you're a single parent, because you want to please. But folks, when you read the enemy's game plan and you find that you're feeding it, we have to jerk that wheel. And I hear way too many marriages that are hurt because of games. That's a game we can't afford to play. Even motorcycle riding has to be limited, right? And thank God we have men in our church that know how to do that. But if you've kind of lost count of where your time is going, maybe you need to keep a little journal. You too, babe. Don't you love that Rusty lets me pester him at service? He doesn't have a choice. He does have a choice. If he asked me to stop, I would. Oh, man, I don't even know where I got to. Violence. Okay, people will find it easy to walk away. They'll find enjoyment in violence. They will become full of pride and inflated with a sense of their own self-importance to the extent that they may end up feeling like society is being hit with a typhoon. Now, these are all from the Greek. You know, Renner, you know these are from the Greek. However, these menacing winds of change will eventually blow out like a storm that comes and goes. Meanwhile, people will become fixated on the unobtainable pursuit of happiness and pleasure even more than they love God. Although they may possess an outward form of religion, they will rebuff, refute, refuse, and reject the authentic power that goes along with genuine godliness. I urgently tell you to mentally, spiritually, and physically turn away and remove yourselves from such people. These sorts of people project themselves as help with the intention of gaining access into people's homes to manipulate them. Girls, you ready for this part? Especially targeting some sincere women who feel overwhelmed by frustrations, disappointing failures in life, whom the manipulators find easier to influence because they have so many unmet longings. Gentlemen, listen up. The enemy is targeting your wife. Dads, listen up. The enemy is targeting your daughters because they have so many unmet longings. Makes them easier to influence. These women are endlessly doing their very best to gain insight needed to help them navigate life, but they are perpetually unable to come to the right conclusions based on truth. Jannes and Jambres fiercely opposed and defiled Moses. These also will be fiercely opposed to and will defy the truths of Scripture. They will be men with minds that have been ruined, defective, malfunctioning, and reprobate concerning the teachings of Scripture. But the advance of spiritual disease that they spread will be halted, and their irrational way of thinking, their lunacy, their madness, their spiritual nonsense will become unmistakably clear to all men as Jannes and Jambres also was. You can go back and read about that in the story of Moses. But these wicked men, real bona fide frauds who masquerade as spiritual leaders, will lead people off track as they spread their deadly teachings and put people under their magic spell. Over time, they will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being self-deceived by the nonsense they communicate to others. Everything we read in there has to do with our home. Everything in there. And I know that was long, but boy, doesn't it sober us up. We need to know the truth, and God gave us the truth. So your home is crucial, not just to you. It's crucial to society. You know, as our families multiply, I was thinking about this the other day. Abortion just makes me mad. I mean, Kathy, you're talking about not protecting the innocent. There was a senator that gave a great speech before Congress, and if I find it, I'll try to tag you in it. But, oh my goodness, he just made it so simple. He put up a picture of a 26 weeks into pregnancy baby, you know, and he said, is this a baby or not? Is this eyes, nose, and a mouth? Are these hands and feet? Is this life or not? When we are in a society who cannot even acknowledge that a baby is a living human being, we are in the last days. And so we can't feed into our families that feed into this plan of the enemy. God has a plan for your home, and it's to be a light in this society, is to bring people into the kingdom. And of course, he wants you to have a home that is full of love and full of peace. Faith, today's message in a nutshell. The principles of faith are the principles of home. What you're hearing is crucial. That doesn't just count when you're in church. That counts when you're at home. What your children are hearing, it's crucial. Because that's how faith comes. They will believe in what they hear. You were made to believe what you hear. God set it up. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We believe what we hear. It's how we were made. So that makes what we're saying in our homes very crucial. Because the people in our homes, Jim, are believing what they're hearing. We can't be loose with our words. Our words have a purpose. God made us that way. Read the first book of Genesis, and God said, and it was. And God said, and it was. And not only was it was good. Which means what God said was good. You won't find a good home where there's not good words. You won't find, and I hate to say good kids, because they're all good kids. They probably just been taught wrong or making wrong decisions. But the only hope for a child to have a good life is for someone, whether that be a teacher, a grandparent, a parent, a friend's parent, somebody's got to be sowing some good words. So we've got to invest. So when God, my mind, Scott, was we reap while we sow. That is a basic foundational scripture, and you can find it in Galatians 6 if you want to turn there. Now you're going to find on your online notes that Tanya has put on there for you two sheets. Oh, Bob, I talked about the motorcycles and you're shutting me down. Hey, you're good. You're good dad and husband. I said you're good dad and husband. Okay. Whew. Sometimes you got to pamper these guys. There's two sheets in there. Guys, you're the only ones that are getting blessed today. I'll get the women's up next week. There's one called I Am a Godly Man. Those are things for you guys, no matter your age, to say over yourself. You can even give these to your young boys in your home, and it's in confessions form with the scriptures. The other one is called My Husband Is. You do not get to fill in the blank. God gets to fill in the blank. And it's a confession sheet. Those of you who desire to be married can even start reading that now, speaking it over your future mates. And that way, when you meet them, you know if it's them or not. That blank is already filled in. Those of you who desire to stay single, more power to you. Apostle Paul thought it was a great idea. So you're not incomplete if you're single. You're still a home, right? So use these over your dad. You can take the words, my husband is, and say, my dad is. My brother is. You can make these fit how you need to, but they're all scripture, and I encourage you. And the reason I did two angles is so everybody in the same home is speaking the same thing over the man. The man's saying it about himself. Anybody else in the home is also saying it about him. And that's the power of agreement right there. So it's a powerful tool. Make use of it, and we'll continue to give you those through this series. Galatians 6, verse 7. Don't be deceived, which tells me it's very likely that people are, or he wouldn't have said it. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Y'all, that can be a threat or a promise. It depends on what you're sowing. If you don't like what you're reaping, you got to change what you're sowing. If you don't like what's growing in your home, if you don't like what's growing in your marriage, if you don't like what's growing in your children, Mariana, we got to change what we're sowing, right? That's a smart farmer. If I don't like what I'm getting in a harvest, I have to change. We can gripe about the crop all day long. But somebody's got to change the seed. God's not mocked. A man does reap what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, or the flesh, from that nature will reap destruction. Y'all are having fun with my mic, aren't you? If you sow to the flesh, if you respond out of the flesh, if you say what comes to your mind, you're sowing the flesh, unless it's the Word of God. Some of you have renewed your minds enough, Josiah, that when there's a problem down at the shop or Tori does something, you automatically say what the Word says, but that only comes by renewing your mind. So you have to make sure you're sowing the right seed. But he who sows to the flesh, there's one thing you need to know. You will reap destruction. And that word destruction means decay. It means decay, ruin. We need to think about that seed before we sow it. The one who sows to please the Spirit. So there's only two choices here. We're either sowing to please ourselves, or we're sowing to please the Spirit. We're either sowing to say what we feel, or we're sowing to the Spirit. If you sow to the flesh what you want to say, Mike, then you're going to reap destruction. That's the only option. That's the seed. You sow green beans, guess what you're going to get? It's not corn. You can wish for corn. You can tell people it's corn. It's not corn. If you sow green beans, you got green beans. And so if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction, but he gives us an option. Sow to the Spirit, and you're going to reap eternal life, or that word is zoe in the Greek, which is the God kind of life. You get the God kind of the results, the things that he intended. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good. I almost said King James Version there, didn't I? Let's not get weary in well-doing. That's the temptation. Because even after we hear this and we go home and we start, okay, I'm going to sow the right thing. I'm going to sow the right thing. I'm going to say the right thing. I'm going to sow the right thing. The temptation is that if we don't see an instant change, we get weary in well-doing. And we quit. We don't wait till there's a harvest. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Here's what I've noticed. Sometimes we're nicer to strangers than we are to the people we live with. That shouldn't be. That should not be. Y'all, with this one passage, we can just a change. It forces a change. There's power in it. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you want friends, what do you sow? Friendship. What kind of friend do you want? Then that's the kind of friend you are. This principle goes all the way through the Word of God. What kind of mate do you want? Then that's the kind of mate you are. And I think we have to be real careful right there in marriage, because sometimes we just sow what we want and we forget to sow what they need. But love is very conscious of the other person. And so we've got to be careful, and I want to make sure I cover that. Don't be deceived. What's the deception? What's he warning us about? The deception is that you can have a harvest without sowing. People all over the world are praying for their homes, for their children, for their marriages, God cannot make you have a good home. He can't make your children respect you. He cannot make your home be a home of peace. I want you to think about something right now. When you drive up and you open that door and you go inside, what's that like? What does that feel like when you open that door and you're home? Now, if you need that to change, he's handing you some seed this morning. Don't be deceived. Whatever just came to your mind right then on why that, you will reap what you sow if you don't quit. It's coming. That's a promise. The other deception is that your sowing will never bring a harvest. Hey, don't cancel out what God's doing with your negativity. God's word works. He is faithful to his word if we are faithful to his word. And don't mingle your seed. You've heard my dad probably, if you've come here very long, talk about when you're walking in faith and you're using your faith for anything, don't mingle your seed. What does that mean? It means Josiah cannot talk blessings on Tori half of the time and then go down the coffee shop and talk ugly about Tori the rest of the time. That would be, I can use you as an example because I know you are great. That would be mingled seed. Then you've got two different principles going on here. So keep your seed pure. And when I say that, keep your words pure. Your words need to match God's words. We sang it up here all morning. That's who God says I am. Well, who does God say the people in your household are? That's what we say. And one night I kind of mentioned it to Dylan, but I'll spring it on him out here. That way he's publicly committed. But one night I would like for Kirsten or somebody to cover youth, or maybe even a couple of parents cover youth, to talk about what parents need from their kids. Because kids often think about what they need from their parents. Faith kids need to think about what their parents need from them. And then have Dylan, on a Sunday night, meet with parents of teens and talk about what teens need from their parents. And if y'all would be interested in that, shoot me a message or something and let me know, or an email, let me know you're interested and we'll set it up. Because, and we want that Zoe life and not destruction. Now, the next part that we covered in that scripture was crucial. Don't become weary in well-doing. And that happens when you don't have faith in the principle or knowledge of the principle. When you don't have faith in the principle, you're going to get tired of being good because you're not seeing change fast enough and you're not seeing the person respond. You're not doing it based on the person's response. You're doing it based on the Word of God. Your faith is in God. It is God who makes the seed produce. Every farmer knows this. Tom Wilkins goes out and plants this beautiful garden. He goes through the effort of planting, but Tom cannot make that seed come up. That's in that God works the wonders. You sow the seed. You're responsible for sowing the seed and keeping it in the ground. Otherwise, you're going to quit when you don't see change. But don't be deceived. God's not mocked. You will reap if you don't give up. Because you believe that, you take the scripture says, every good opportunity to do good. Every opportunity, do good. When somebody does something in your household that looks contrary to what you've been believing for, that's an opportunity to do good. You feel like reacting negatively, but that's not the seed you want in the ground. Look, the whole kingdom is based on seed time and harvest. The whole kingdom. Mark 4, the parable of the sower, tells you this. On further down to the end of the parable, he tells us that the whole kingdom, everything in God's kingdom works on this principle of seed, time, and harvest. Our trouble is we don't like that middle part. Time. Well, if we have sown destruction and ruin and decay into our homes for 30 years, it might take a little bit of time to get rid of what we've sown and sow something different. It's worth it. We're headed in the right direction, right? Your home is worth it. God sees your home is worth it. We need to see our home is worth it. More than that feeling of our flesh that tries to rise up. When something negative happens, I want you to have the thought, I can sow right now, or I can destroy everything that I've sown. It is just amazing how much destruction we can do in a matter of a few words. And then it's kind of like, okay, the field's barren again. We got to go back to sowing again. So the purpose here is let's watch those words and let's realize the power of them, that they are seed. And I'm telling you, that takes due diligence because you're living with humans. We're all living with humans. Rusty lives with a human. Bless his heart. You know, I know. Date nights are challenging sometimes, aren't they? You know, we have things we have to deal with. And not everything is, y'all, sometimes we watch too many Hallmark movies. You know, life's not a fairy tale. But it can be good. It can be a faith tale. It could be one where you and your mate and you and your children, or you as a single person, overcame the world because of your faith. And that's the story that we want. We call them glory stories. Your prayers to God are answered in His Word. And we pray over our homes. We pray for somebody to change that. It's answered in His Word. He can't make your mate be. You can't make your mate be, but you can sow towards it. I call it influence. You can influence towards it. And God sure wants to help us do it. And this principle of sowing and reaping is one of the ways. Every seed has a germination process. And we need to know that up front. It's because I sow something into Rusty doesn't mean I'm going to get the harvest the next day, the next week, the next. Every seed has a germination process. And one of the tough things about a seed is for a while, it looks dead. You know, I have a whole bunch of bulbs, plant bulbs, sitting on my kitchen counter right now. They look absolutely lifeless. And Gisela, if I go out and put them in the ground today, they're still going to look dead. We can't be moved by what we see. We walk by faith and not by the principle works. And if we're sowing the Word of God into our families, the seed is guaranteed. There is no problem with the seed. The problem is sometimes we dig it up or we quit on it. We quit nurturing it. We quit sowing into it. I believe God is stirring us up to reestablish our homes in faith. To be speaking faith-filled words in them. And I believe that's going to make a huge... And I believe we need it as Christians. I believe we need that establishment settled, and God's getting us ready for that. We just read it in 2 Timothy 3. We're going to need it more and more as the end approaches. You reap where you sow. If you're sowing... And I believe God told me to say this, so that's why I'm going to have to say it, even though it kind of seems kind of awkward. If you're sowing into someone else, you're sowing in the wrong place. You work with people sometimes longer hours than you're with your family. Be very careful what you sow into other people. There are certain seed that only belong to your mate. There are certain words that only belong to your mate. You're going to reap where you sow. Some harvests don't belong to me. Some harvests don't belong to you. Some harvests don't belong to that person you're working with. Belong to your mate. Sow where it matters. We waste a lot of time sowing into things that don't matter. People are eternal. Your family is eternal. So sow where it matters. Sow what you desire to reap, and then also think about what your household needs from you, and sow accordingly. A lot of times people's actions, and I think this is hard for us to, this takes maturity for us to come to this place where we realize that sometimes people's actions are speaking to us their need. You know, the action is ugly. Their words are ugly. And it takes maturity to stop and say, what are they needing from me? What just happened here? And what are they really speaking to me? Not what are their words, but what are they really speaking to me? And y'all, there is this lost art in our society called respect. I'm not coming for you, babe. I did ask him to teach with me this morning, but he's not ready yet. There's a whole line of books, and I always like to give y'all information. There's a whole line of books called Love and Respect. They're great. You're welcome to look at these. Don't take them, but you're welcome to look at them. I've got too many books loaned out right now. Love and Respect, this is the respect that he desperately needs, which is supposedly one of man's greatest needs, is to feel respected. And Love and Respect in the Family, this talks about teaching your children, respecting your children, and sowing that respect into them. I just hate to hear a parent waylay a child and demand respect back. You ain't sowing respect. Yeah, you're the parent. But you can discipline respectfully. You can walk in authority respectfully. Jesus did it all the time. It didn't mean things that he said weren't tough. But he did it respectfully. He did it out of love. So those are two resources. We've got to make sure that we're meeting those needs in each other. Matthew 7, verse 12, and I'm about out of time, but he says, you'll know this as the golden rule. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, y'all just look at that Old Testament. Brother Jim looks at the Old Testament in this Bible and realizes that what I just read from Matthew 7 sums it up. That might be a pretty important scripture. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We call it the golden rule. We quit teaching it in schools, to my knowledge. We're sure not seeing the fruit of it being said. This needs to be a principle in our homes. In your home, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This sums up the law and the prophets. That's powerful. This will change your home. Man, you're talking about making a good home? If everybody in the home is doing to everybody else as they want done unto them, you just got a key right there to change the whole atmosphere of your home if you'll preach this to your family. And I don't mean set them down and point your fingers at them. Live it. Explain it. Talk about it. This is why you don't talk back to mom. This is why mom has to make these rules. There's a respect there that needs to be sown, and this principle can operate. I'll go quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and you think, man, this is a giving scripture. It's a sowing scripture. And sowing and reaping is a principle that works everywhere, especially in our homes. He says, he that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly. And the man says, I wash the dishes. Boys, let me tell you, that's sparingly. That's great, but that's sparingly. And the woman says, look, we're in a life of giving. That's what we're in a life of giving. That's what love does. For God so loved the world that he... This selfish attack on society should stop in a Christian home. It's sacrificial love. He that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. Our giving should have a purpose. It's a heart purpose, Kevin. What I do for Rusty should have a heart purpose. And I shouldn't have to make him a list and tell him about it. Occasionally I do, and I shouldn't. You know, I did this, because I'm an acts of service kind of girl, and I'm trying to say I love you. And he just wants me to sit down on the couch. Another recommended book, Five Love Languages. If you're in a relationship, you've got children, you've got to read it. Five Love Languages. It's an old book. Almost everybody's read it, but the principle is so good because we're speaking different languages. I'm doing what I need, which is acts of service. If you love me, fold the clothes. If you love me, I'm an acts of service. That's my language that says I love you. Rusty's is not. So I'm wearing myself out over here for almost 20 years, doing for him when he just wants to tell how wonderful he is, and that is the greatest buck you have ever killed. Look at that fish. Sit down, look at game camera pictures with him, spend time with him, hold his hand, and you know the other thing that all guys want. And, you know, that's what he needs from me, and I'm wearing myself out over here slaving, Susie, to say I love you. It's not what he needs. Five love languages. You got to read it. It's crucial. It's important. Because we're sowing bountifully sometimes in the wrong areas. We need to sow on purpose. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. So let him give. You ready for this part? Not grudgingly. Yeah, not grudgingly. In whatever way you're sowing into your family, don't do it grudgingly. They all know. Rusty knows. I don't have a poker face. If I'm doing something for him because I love him, grudgingly, that's not exactly fertilizing the field. That's not nurturing the seed. That's grudgingly. But God loves a cheerful giver. I'm doing this because God told me this is what to do. This is love. This is what reaps a harvest in my home. This is how I have a good home. I believe what he said. I believe the principle works. That's exciting. Because no matter what I see, I know underneath that soil, there is a germination process taking place. And if I don't ruin it, and I don't stop its process, someday I'm going to see the fruit of it. And that's exciting. And that's what keeps us going. So have the right purpose in your heart. Become the giver in your home. And don't do it grudgingly. Do it cheerfully. And I'm telling you, if you feel like you've lost the passion in your marriage, you're going to have to sow for it. Don't feel like, Rusty and I will be married 20 years this year. Life has happened to us. You know, we've been through some tough things. We've both been married before. We've been through the step-parenting thing, which is challenging. We've lost a child. We've been through some tough stuff. There are things that will take the passion out of your living. Yeah. So put it back. Amen. Don't let the enemy have that. Amen. It's vital to your marriage. You got to have date night. You've got to do it, church. I don't care if you don't have kids, if you do have kids, you got to have date night. And it's got to involve steak. I'm just kidding. You know, we had this couple, and who remembers Katie and Frank? Katie's living in Conway. We stay in contact with her. I'll be sure and tell her I preached her message. But Katie and Frank had been married before. They went through the step-parenting thing. Frank had health issues. I mean, they had so many things going against them. They were the most passionate 80-year-olds I've ever watched. I watched them through their, I guess, 70s and 80s. And Frank is in heaven now. This is what they did. When they had money, they started this when they didn't have money, they would throw their change. This is back when you carried something called cash. They would throw their change in a jar. And at the end of the week, they would count that change. That's what they had to spend for dinner, for date night. Now, even after, they were great photographers. I mean, great photographers in Clarksville. They got to where they did not have to do that, but they had so much fun doing it when they were poor that they never stopped. So if they had $1.50, they went to the dollar menu and split the meal. Life doesn't have to be boring. You don't have to have money. You can be blessed by what you're sowing into each other. And you can have a happy marriage. I don't care what the thought is that comes to your head when I say that. You can have a happy home and you can have a happy marriage. Ask God how. And this is one of the principles that you'll use. And I'm telling you, that's where the dead things come back to living. He shows us how. He doesn't bury things, he resurrects them. So if your marriage needs resurrected, your passion needs resurrected, God's your man. He's got a word for it, but start sowing towards it. Don't lose your hope. Stir it back up. Amen? I could go on forever, but I won't. We'll let John handle it next week. Wherever he is, there he is. Mandy, you're on the hot seat next week. Maybe John can get Mandy to preach with him. I didn't have much luck with Rusty. All right, y'all can stand. Mandy and Rusty kind of like to chill and be the support system. Y'all have some great homes. And even if you don't think that fits you right now, it's going to. And when you apply the word, it's going to. And if you're in a tough situation right now in your home, if you need to let me know about it, I'll be glad to support you, pray with you. John, gentlemen, John is couples, me and Rusty, Dylan and Rachel. His advice, my mama is a wife and mother and a half. She has led the way of this church on the Proverbs 31 woman. And if you need her, she is available. And she would love to visit with you and love to help you and support you. You don't have to go through these things alone. We're here for you as a family. Be glad to lift you up in prayer. And if you're believing for a mate, if that's something you want, I'll be glad to fix you up with somebody. No, I'm just kidding. We'll pray about it. But you're going to have a picture in front of you so that you know what their heart is like when you meet them. And it'll be a good thing. Amen. Father, these homes are so blessed because these people have chosen the principles of God. Because of their relationship with you, their relationships have hope and a future, Father. Your plans for them are good. And Father, those that are under distressing situations right now, I ask that your Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church, who is the comforter, who is the revealer of truth, minister to their hearts. For those who are believing for their marriages, who are believing for their children to come back into their lives, Father, I speak an encouragement and a strength to them this morning. I ask that your word be brought back to life on the inside of them, that hope be restored to them, Father, so that they can build on that and become a faithful home no matter what their situation looks like, Father. I believe that you're working on both sides of this thing, on both the male and the female in this situation. And I know you can't control people, but Father, we know that prayer puts an influence on them. And so, Father, we as a church body are willing to lift up the hands of those who are in a tight spot. And Father, we believe that we're going to see miraculous things in homes where people just have to sit back and say, well, that was God. That's right. It was. You are the one that brings the seed to life. And we thank you and praise you for knowledge and the tools to do it. And we'll be aware and sober and active to fight against it and to fight for the plans of God for our families. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen.